3 this morning. But as we start this new series, let's just do a little gut check and see if we need this series. So let me just ask you something. How many of you, in just a few minutes, I want to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have a relationship in your life that's frustrating, stressful, discouraging, or depressing? All right. The rest of you are just lying. If you don't have it, the reality is, if you don't have somebody like that right now, guess what? They are on the way. And so, listen, this is a good series because relationships, as we've said many times before, it's one of those things that is just a crucial part, an integral part of just being a human, and certainly as a part of being a follower of Christ. And so, this is a message we need. We need to find out about what love is. And so today, if you're taking notes, you can entitle this, that love is the most important thing. We're going to find out that what God is saying is that when it comes to love, it's central, it's focused, it's the most important thing. And so as we think about that, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I just get really busy. And I just get really focused, sometimes on good things. But the reality is sometimes I can just become callous and I can become uncaring and I can just begin to forget that there are people in my life that need somebody, that need my relationship in their life, somebody to put an arm around and encourage or to help or a hand up or just a kind word or someone to love them. And so I'm not talking about the guy on the side of the street looking for a handout. I'm talking about sometimes in my own home this can happen. You see, sometimes when it comes to relationships, we just kind of wonder, why didn't that relationship work? What was it that went wrong? And so what we want to do is through this series is begin to address, what does God's Word say? How do we change our relationships? Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. See, that's the only way it can really work. Is that when it comes to having the right relationships the way God wants them, it means that our heart has to change and then our outward things will change right along with it. And so, listen, maybe some of you can relate to this, that sometimes as we go through life, listen, I can just become a little selfish. Can we just be honest today? Sometimes you're selfish too? Yeah, it's true. Every single one of us. And so we need this series. Matter of fact, it might be one of the most important series that you go through in your church life, because if we get this right, guess what? Everything else begins to fall into place as we begin to serve and to love and to have a heart just like God wants us to have. And so as we talk about this and about relationships, so that sometimes they're struggling, what is it that many times will draw that relationship back, that will snap back like a rubber band and becomes laser focused, that makes us realize what's important? Well, it's challenges, isn't it? It's trials. It's sometimes in our life bad things happen. And so sometimes I believe, and I know this to be true in my own life, that God allows things in my life to happen so that I begin to focus on what's really important. Because if I just become about me and selfish, and then suddenly when I get that crazy phone call or that crazy thing happens or I see that there's some tragedy, what happens many times, it can bring two sides together. Have you seen this before in your own life? Absolutely. It happens this way. Listen, I'll give you an example. In this season, this is a political season as we're heading up to an election coming up this fall. And how many of you are like political junkies? You like all that stuff? Okay. Good. I like this crowd. No, I'm just kidding. The first one, there were a few more people, but I'm kind of like that. I like to listen to what they're saying and try to make my mind up and all that stuff. But here's what I've noticed. Now, you've probably noticed too. They don't like each other very well, do they? I mean, they're not buddies. I mean, and so not only Republicans not get along, the Democrats and the Republicans, for the most part, will never join hands and nothing's ever right. But here's what's interesting that happened. In 2011, out in Arizona at a fundraiser, there was a House of Representatives that was shot and many people were killed out in Arizona. And her name was Gabrielle Giffords. Do you guys remember this? She was shot in the head. They weren't sure if she was going to make it. And so what happened is at the State of the Union that year, instead of people sitting on the right and the left, guess what they did? They swapped seats and everybody sat together. Imagine that. Republicans and Democrats together. Didn't last very long, but in 2013, guess what happened? As she came back to the Senate or to the House of Representatives for the first time since she had had the accident, 2013, at the, once again at the State of the Union address, she stood and she walked in, standing ovation. And once again, guess what? Democrats and Republicans put their differences aside, and they embraced her because tragedy made people realize what's really important. That all this nonsense, many times that we get upset about, when things begin to happen, it clarifies for us what's important. And listen, God wants us to get that. God wants us to understand that the most important thing in our life is the fact that we have love. That we love like God wants us to. As a matter of fact, that's what God wants us to get out of this series, is that love is what really matters most. What really matters most. So we read in Galatians 5, 6. Here's what it says. It says, For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. It says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You see, Paul in his letter to the Galatians is saying, listen, for in Christ, for those who are in Christ, whether they be Gentile or whether they be Jewish, he's saying those are not the things that are important, whether or not you're this or you're that. We are in Christ, and if we are in Christ, then the expression, the most important thing that we can do as a follower of Christ is that we can have faith expressing itself through love. And so Paul is telling us that what really matters in life is to love other people, is our relationships that we have. And so, listen, this is what we're going to see in this chapter, is that God is calling me and He's calling you to a life of love. To focus on it. To make it the most important thing, because in doing so, it will change us into the character and the conduct of the one that we are in, and that is Christ Jesus. And so here's this. So what happens then if we don't live that life? What happens? Well, Paul, at the beginning of this chapter, as he is in this book to the Corinthians, he's writing about the Christian life. And so he's beginning to explain about what's most important, what we should be focused on. And he starts this particular chapter off with not really what we should be doing, but what it doesn't look like, what love doesn't look like. And so here's what we read in 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Please join me as we jump into the passage and begin to kind of dig down deep. Here's what it says. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. You see, what Paul is saying here is that if I'm not going to live a life of love, if I choose not to do that, then what's going to happen is that nothing I say is going to matter. I may be the best communicator in the world. I'm a wordsmith, and I can come up with 15 or 20 different ways to say one thing. I can be the most eloquent thing. But Paul says, listen, without love, it's not going to matter. Nobody's going to listen because the love is not there. But if we do it in love, it's different. But you can be the greatest communicator, and it doesn't mean a thing, according to Paul, according to God's Word, without love. But what do we see also? It's not just that it's not going to matter, but we also see that in 1 Corinthians 13, 2, here's what Paul says. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, what does it say? Say it with me. I am nothing. See, Paul is making a point here about love from the inside out. Paul says, listen, man, you can talk in tongues of angels. You can have all knowledge. You can know all kinds of things. You can have been a part of have a faith that can move mountains and have great accomplishment. But ultimately, without love, without that right motivation that God has given us in Christ, is that it is nothing. You see, you can be the most brilliant person. You can have the highest GPA. You can have a PhD. You can have all the knowledge about math and science and all the things, and you can even have all the knowledge you need about the Bible, know it backwards and forwards. But here's what Paul says, without love, it's nothing. Because it's out of the heart. We've been called to love, not just to have knowledge. Matter of fact, knowledge, we live in an age of knowledge, don't we? I mean, if knowledge was the answer, wouldn't we be in a time of salvation? I mean, knowledge is doubling and tripling about every 18 months right now. It's incredible the knowledge that we have at our fingertips. I could get my smartphone right now and you could ask me a question, you know, and type it in and it, you know, it'd come up on the internet. If it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? Yeah, of course. I mean, you have to be careful about what, but the knowledge is right there. And if it was all about knowledge, then we'd be great. As a matter of fact, I've heard it said, you know, if we just had education, that we could solve the world's problems. If we, and I'm all for education. I think it's great, but it is not the solution to the troubles in our world. Let me ask you a question. With all this knowledge we have, do we still have war? Do we still have people starving? Do we still have people that are being sold into slavery? Do we have, you know, people that are being, you know, prejudice, things being said about them? All the things that are happening in society should be fixed by knowledge if it's the answer. But here's the answer. Here's what Paul says. All those things are nothing if you have love. What the world needs is they need a group of people who know how to love well. They need the love of God. Only the love of God will be the answer to ultimately what this world is looking for. And so listen, you know, it says that, you know, nothing I say is going to matter. Paul says nothing I know will matter without love. I can know everything, but it's not going to matter without love. And then what do we read in 1 Corinthians 13:3? Paul says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Do you see that? There's somebody who's very generous and they're giving. Somebody who gives money away and they put themselves out there and they put themselves in hardship so that they may boast. But ultimately what he's saying once again is without love, it doesn't amount to anything. Because let's just be honest. Have you guys ever given something to somebody to get something in return? You have. We all have. I mean, I'll wash the car if you wash the dishes. You know, I'll do this if you do that. I'll be, and you may not say it out loud, but you say, you know, I'm going to be nice to you here because I want something over here in return. You see, ultimately, that is a giving out of the wrong motivation, not out of love, but out of self-centered and selfish intent. And so Paul says, listen, when that happens, it means that it's not going to be out of love. You can gain all the trophies in the world. Today the Super Bowl will be played this evening. Woohoo! And so at 6:30 tonight, we're going to kick off. And I love football. I love to watch it. And at the end, there'll be folks that will, you know, get trophies and lots of people will get money and they'll show the bios and everything will be lifted up. But let me just tell you something. You can put your picture on Forbes magazine. You can have accomplished everything that's out there. But what Paul says is that ultimately the most important thing is relationships, and that comes from a heart of love. It adds to nothing in the end. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But ultimately, without love, it's nothing. And so Paul paints a picture, really, of just the beginning of this chapter of, listen, that love is the most important thing when it comes to living the Christian life, to our relationships, to have the relationships the way that God wants them. And so here's the question. If love is what matters most, what is love? Now, some of you right now, you're having some songs play in your head. I know. You know, I'm from the 80s. There's all kinds of songs starting to play in my head. You know, what is love? You know, so it's like, you know, all these things are going, but what is love? We've been asking those questions for centuries, but listen, God's Word makes it clear what love is. But I just want to challenge you not to miss a week in the weeks coming up because we're going to address what love is. And you're going to be shocked It's going to be way deeper than you think it is. Because the reality is we have kind of bought into this idea. We have taken love and we've watered it down. Love is one of the most misused words in the English language. Would you agree with that? It is. I say all the time, I love certain things. My wife gets on to me all the time. I love this, I love that, I love this. And so, listen, you know, I just want to share a few things that I love. If we can just, you know, spend a little time. So what is love? It's Chick-fil-A. I mean, listen, man, I love Chick-fil-A. It's the Southern Baptist eatery. And so, you know, it's just, I love it. Chinese food. I could, you know, listen, I love it because you can eat it and 30 minutes later you can eat it again. I mean, it's awesome. Krispy Kreme donuts. You see where I'm going with this? I'm telling you, I love each one of these. Now, the Falcons, they're hard to love, but I love them. They are. And then my country. I love my country. So proud to be an American. I mean, I do. I love, and then my family. This is a selfie. Don't ask where if I was holding the camera or not when we were driving. I don't, you know. But my daughters are screaming in the back. And then this is our dog, Ellie. So let me ask you something. I love all those things. Do I love them equally? No. I better not. I better not say, Melinda, I love you and I love Ellie equally. It would be horrible. You see, we don't have a good concept really of what love is. The world has no idea either, as a matter of fact. Wikipedia, which is not the most reliable source, but it's one that many people use. Here's their definition. That love is an emotion of strong affection and personal attachment. And the picture they put with this is Romeo and Juliet. You see, the world wants you to think that love is just an emotion. It's just a feeling. It comes and it goes. This flighting. Just like Romeo and Juliet. Just two star-crossed lovers somewhere along the way. But that's really not what love is. Top love song of 2015, according to the one that I saw. I don't know if it was the actual top one for the year, but for 2015, as I looked up some of the love songs from last year, some of you probably won't know this, some of you will, but it says, Love Me Like You Do by Ellie Goulding. Now, if you listen to the song, interesting song. Let me just tell you what movie it came from. 50 Shades of Grey. Now, I haven't seen the movie, and I don't recommend you do either. But I will tell you that this song talks about many of the things that happens in that movie. You see, the song is an upbeat song. It's great. But here's what I'm saying is that don't go to the world to try to figure out what love is, because ultimately they are not going to tell you what love is. Listen, these songs are not truly about love. They're about lust. These songs are not about giving. They're about taking. And so many times we find our definition of what love is and how we love other people by we looking out into the world. And listen, what we need to be doing is looking, what does God have to say about what love is? What is it that is truly love if it's so important to our life? And so what do we see? We see that these songs, when we listen to them, we realize that we need a series like this. We need to understand what love is so that we can genuinely love people the way God wants us to. Not like the song. And what's in it for me? And so what is love? Well, God's Word gives us a good definition, a couple of good definitions. And the first one is this. In John 13:34, it tells us that love is a command. It's something that we've been commanded to do. Jesus Himself, don't take my word. This is from Jesus. Here's what He says. A new command that I give you. Not a suggestion. Not something you might want to try. A new command I give you. What does it say? Read it together. Love one another. A command. A new command. He says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. What a beautiful encapsulation of what love is. A new command I've given you is that we should love one another. Not an option. But it's because of the love that God showed you and I. It's because of what really love looks like. And so it's a command. And so, you know, some of you will hear that and you'll say, well, listen, you know, I get it. I mean, I understand and I need to love. But listen, I can live without love. I kind of get that it might be a command, but I can live without it. No, you can't. You can exist without love. But you have not truly lived until you have loved. Until you understand the love that God has given through His Son, Jesus Christ, stretching His arms out on the cross. No greater love does somebody have than to lay down their life for another person. And so Jesus is saying, listen, I'm commanding you as people who are followers of mine, if you're going to look like me, if you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to have the character and conduct of your Savior, we are commanded to love. And so, love is a command. See, the reality is that so many times when we think about it, we think that that love is just a feeling. But here's the reality. God would never command us to do something that we couldn't control. You see, if we think that love is just a feeling, let me just throw this on you. How many of you have been at a grocery store? Maybe you've had one of your own kids, and so they begin to act up, and they're not happy, and they're like, "Wah!" And you say, "I command you to be happy." You can't command an emotion, can you? In the moment, they're just not going to do it. See, the reality is God is saying that love is not an emotion. It is something that we can have control over. And so we also see that love is a command, but we also understand that love is a choice. We're commanded to do it, but in somewhere along the way, we have to decide that we are going to love. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, follow the way of love, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I want you to focus in just on the first part of that verse. It says, follow the way of love. You see, it means that there is a choice whether I'm going to follow or I'm not going to follow. We can understand everything there is to know about love, but at some point we have to choose and to step out and say, I've been commanded to love, so I'm going to do it. I'm not going to base it on whether I feel like loving someone. I'm just going to love because that's what God did. For me, this word follow in the Greek means to seek, to pursue, to press on. See, Paul is telling us here in 1 Corinthians 14 is that we should press on in the way of love. Because that's how God wants our relationships to be done, the way that He wants them to be done. You see, following means that we get to choose. You see, this destroys the myth that we just fall into love. You hear people all the time and they'll say, oh, I just fell in love and then I just fell out of love. And, you know, it sounds like love is like something, it's a ditch you fall into, you know, and then you can also climb out, you know, and it's, you know, I've fallen in love and I can't get up. I mean, it's like, you know, all these ideas of just, you know, this of love being an emotion. But listen, we get a chance to choose. But the real test of love is this. It's when times get tough, isn't it? You know, it's easy to love somebody when things are going well. See, this is why the Bible speaks so much about what love is. It's a command. It's not an emotion. We can choose. Because, you know, it's easy to love somebody when everything's hunky-dory. But when times get tough and you got to choose, I am going to love that person in spite of where they are, in spite of what they're doing. It's when they lose their jobs. It's when sickness comes. It's when all of the adversity of life hits and suddenly it's just not as fun as it used to be. But I am going to love them because God loved me. I choose to love them. I'm not falling in and out of love. Listen, there's no greater love than at 3 a.m. with a sick child. I don't want to be there. They don't want to be there. There's no greater love than holding the hair of your child as they puke over a commode. That's a horrible picture of love. I know. You're going to be like, I don't know. I didn't hear a thing he said. All I can think about is that. But I want you to get that. That's what love is. I choose to love in that moment because of my relationship with her. And so love is a choice. How many of you have just, you know, loved somebody even when they were grumpy? Raise your hand. And just ornery. Man, that's what love is. Matter of fact, I asked a friend of mine if he ever woke up grumpy, and he said, no, I just let her sleep. And so, listen, that's what love truly is. Matter of fact, love is when we are giving a person what they need and not what they deserve. That's true. That's the love that God has given us. We ask the question, what is love? It's Jesus. You see, if God had given me what I deserve, given me what I deserve instead of what I need, I wouldn't be standing here right now. If God had given you what you deserve instead of what you need, you wouldn't be here right now. You see, that's the great love that God has given for us. And so because it's a command and because it's a choice, here's what I want to do as we end our time together. As we kick off this series, I want to give you a couple of choices that you can make today. Maybe a couple of commitments that you can do as practical application for what we've talked about today as we prepare to dive into this over the next few weeks. And so here's choice number one. We can choose to get God's perspective on love. We can choose. We can choose and say we're going to be here every week because we want to get into God's Word and find out what does it look like for us to have a life of love. What does it look like for those relationships that we all raised our hand about that I can play a part in repairing those? But more than that, what does it look like to have the heart after God, a heart of love, so that I can be a part of what our very mission statement and purpose statement here is our church? It's interesting that when Jesus talked about the most important things for the followers of Christ, it dealt with love. What did he say? He said, love God, love others, and then ultimately he said, love the world. Go into all the world and share the good news. All of it dealt with the fact of a heart of love that God has given. So choice number one, I want you to get God's perspective on love. Ephesians 5:2 says this. It says, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, at the very first part of that, it says, walk in the way. Listen, this takes time. This is a walk. This is a journey. We're not going to get this overnight. That's why we need to come together week after week as we look through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you're going to be amazed at the things that you're going to hear about what it looks like to truly love. And many times what it doesn't look like. You don't want to miss it. I would invite you to bring somebody with you each week. And so I want to challenge you to be here every week. I would encourage you to dig into chapter 13 for yourself. Don't just come and wait on me. I can't get it all in 30 or 40 minutes here. Get in there and get into God's Word and begin to ask God to reveal to you and get God's perspective on love. It'll be life-changing for all of us. And so you may be sitting here and saying, listen, I'm not sure I can do that. How can I love like Jesus? How is it that I can have a heart like Jesus? Well, listen, the first thing that we have to have is we have to have God in our life. We can't have a heart like Jesus if we don't have Jesus in our heart, in our life. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, listen, I hope that today or sometime during this series that God will continue just to reveal himself to you of how much he loves you, of how much he desires to have a personal relationship with you so that your heart and our relationships can change from the inside out, because that's the way that it works. And here's choice number two. as we head into the week. Choice number two is practice being unselfish and choose to serve others. Sounds simple, but can be really challenging sometimes. See, it's so easy for me sometimes to be the center of the universe, but there is something amazing when I make a commitment that every day I'm going to be looking for some way that I can be unselfish, that I can be a blessing to others. Maybe you're in the drive-thru behind or ahead of somebody and you just pay for the meal behind you. I hope it's me. I'm going to follow some of you around just to see if you'll do it. I don't know what it is for you that God will lay, but I'm just saying, as we begin to develop this heart of love, getting God's perspective, man, it's going to transform us individually and transform our church into a church with a heart after God. Man, what a reputation to have. Man, that church loves well. We are surrounded by 28,000 people that need to hear about the love of Jesus. Those are relationships that God is waiting. So listen, for this week, here's what I want you to do. You're going to wake up every day and say, I'm going to do something unselfish and serve others today. And here's the other thing I want you to do. I want you this week to commit to battle. To battle against anything that's going to come between you and the relationships in your life and the way that God wants them to be. Start this week thinking about how you might repair those relationships. And don't let anything get in the way. Battle against it. Go back and read so many verses in the Bible about love, but even in 1 Corinthians 13, begin to read that. I promise you it will begin to change your heart about those people that we raised our hands about. And so we're going to go into a time of decision as we end our introductory message of this. I want to encourage you to come back every week. I promise you, you will not regret it. And so we're going to pray. And so when we're done praying, that's going to be your opportunity to respond. I don't know what God's doing in your heart today, but if nothing else, maybe you can just begin to pray about staying strong against those things that might come between you and your relationships. You might even today just begin to pray that God is going to begin to show you how to love well. Maybe one of those people that you raised your hand for, begin to pray about that relationship. I don't know what it is for you, but we're going to pray, and that'll be your opportunity. This area down here is open if you'd like to come and pray. I'll be right down front if I can pray for you about anything. If you don't know Jesus in a personal way, you can either come and see me this morning down here and we'll start a conversation, or grab me right afterwards. And would love to have a conversation with you about how you can know Jesus in a personal way. So let's pray together.